I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bachelor After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're so excited to be here. Crazy episode, fantasy suite night for Peter.
We're doing shoulder stuff on this side.
Mike and Rachel are killing it over there. I'm like ready for this to be the new Bernie. It's incredible. Really crazy episode tonight. Again, as I mentioned, it was fantasy suites. We'll be covering the whole episode today on the After Show. Quickly, if this is your guys' first time tuning into AfterBuzz TV, welcome. We're glad to have you. This is an After Show network for everything airing on television. And of course, we're your Bachelor panel. So we will be breaking down tonight's episode. The members of that panel start with me. You guys, my name is Jeff Graham. I'm so excited to be here. I'm going to start with Mina. You've been here before. I say Mina primarily covers like sort of heady intellectual content here at the network. You do some of our in-depth cinema and film coverage. But we value that because you come here to shed your intellectual wisdom on The Bachelor. Mina, we're so glad to have you. Thanks for being here.
I try. Thank you so much.
Yes. Rachel, of course, I say not only an amazing host, but you do have some reality TV experience. You were on season 20 Big Brother.
Yes, I was. What about my heady intellectual?
Well, no, everyone here's
heady. I'm just kidding. I'm reality.
Well, that also counts. You know, we all have valid opinions here. I just, you know, Mina comes with that. She covers our anatomy of a movie on our sister network, Popcorn Talk.
Popcorn Talk.
Yes.
I love it.
We're glad you're here. And Rachel, also glad to have you.
Yes, I'm so excited.
And of course, Mike Thieling.
I know my place.
Oh, no. But again, Mike, and I mean this to give you credibility, maybe the most avid reality TV watcher I know.
Might be true.
I'm going to quickly ask.
Good game playing this episode. I love the
game.
You
watched all of Love is Blind recently.
No, I am ahead of what everybody's watching live because we have the screeners.
Oh, they drop them one at a time on it.
They drop it really strange. Love is Blind is like 4 episodes, 3, then 2, or something like that. So we're ahead, but yeah.
Well, make sure you check them out on that after show.
Married at First Sight on Wednesday.
Married at First
Sight. Oh my God, all the relationships.
Survivor. But we are here tonight to talk about The Bachelor, of course. It was fantasy suite night. It was crazy. We do have some Tweeting for the Right Reasons, which is our segment where we share with you our favorite tweets from Bachelor Nation during the broadcast. But we got to get into it because tonight was full of crazy stuff. Especially all of that Maddie drama. I mean, that's a lot to unpack. But I'm going to start by first asking what you guys thought overall of the episode. Rachel, I feel like you're ready to pop.
I thought you were going to ask me about Hannah Ann's date, but we'll get to that. Overall thoughts was just great reality television.
Yeah.
Wow, this really got into some meat tonight. Just some really hard-hitting topics, clearly. So, yeah, I mean, just a lot to talk about and unpack, as you said.
Totally agree.
Ooh, producer Vito is having fun back there today.
Shouting out Vito in the booth. Vito's always helping us run the bells and whistles back there, which we really appreciate.
Hey, guys, thank you very much.
You got it, man. Mike, what do you think of the show overall tonight?
So the majority of the episode to talk about, obviously, is Madison. Thought it was really cool. Really good gameplay, and my tinfoil hat is on tight, so I'm ready for it.
Let's go. Mina, what'd you think?
I definitely enjoyed it. My heart was really, really hurting for Maddie because I could totally relate to her. And I just love, like, what the producers did, just putting all three girls in one room before fantasy suite dates.
Yeah.
I feel like that was, like, a game changer. Definitely created a lot more tension and a lot more entertainment for us to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Kumite.
In a really, really messed up way, but I enjoyed that aspect of
it. Those producers.
Yeah.
This is an interesting time in every season because really what I think this part of the show does is kind of break down everyone's ability to date. Like, this kind of shows how quickly the cracks come out when you test relationships in this way.
Mm.
And we really started to feel it tonight, especially with all three of them, I think. Mm. Maybe not so much Hannah Ann, but we'll probably end up covering that last. I think in order, the way I want to cover this is probably to start with the Maddie stuff, because that was the juiciest stuff this episode. I think we have to start by talking about that first conversation. At the airport hangar, of course, last week's cliffhanger left us with Maddie going out to talk to Peter and having a conversation with him. Rachel, do you feel like Maddie was very clear with Peter and what she wanted from him?
No, she wasn't. She was like us typical girls, dropping little hints like, well, if you do this, then I might not be there.
Right.
So let's see how much you like me. That was what I got out of it. Because I'm sitting there going, why isn't she saying it? Why isn't she? Oh, okay. She's like testing him. She wants to see if he's...
I think she was a little bit, which may, I mean, we don't need to place a value judgment on that. Like, that is, she probably didn't want to have to spell it out for him. I know there are some women who feel especially cared for when a man is able to sort of intuit what they want rather than having to be told exactly what she wants, you know? So I feel like Peter kept being like, I need you to spell out clearly exactly what.
Well,
but from her perspective, I'm sure she's like, I shouldn't have to tell you not to have sex with two women and then expect me to want to get married, engaged to you in 5 days.
Right.
Well, she wanted him to intuit that.
Sorry. Didn't she say she couldn't? She didn't think she'd be able to continue.
She did.
I mean, that's I don't know. To me, that was blatant enough. I think the bigger thing is that she didn't specifically say, I am a virgin.
Right.
Right? That's very different than just saying, you know, maybe you've slept with people in the past, I've slept with people in the past, but if you sleep with somebody on the show, like right now while we are dating, then I'm not going to be able to keep going.
Yeah.
That's what I took it as.
I think the virgin comment takes it to a completely different level.
I was exactly going to say that.
The reason being is that her reasoning for why she doesn't want him to sleep with the other women is like really important. So I feel like if she came from it with the perspective that, you know what, marriage is super important to me, I believe that sex should be between, you know, people who are in love and a committed relationship that is monogamous, that would be a completely different conversation from, you know, hey, I just don't want you doing this because it would make me jealous and hurt because I love you. It's very different saying, you know what, I'm a virgin, this is important to me. And I think she was torn because she didn't want to give an ultimatum.
Yeah.
And I think it's really difficult to say, like, hey, these are my standards. Don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was, like, being as roundabout as some of you guys think she was being. I just think that she didn't want to have to tell someone what to do because ultimatums don't work in relationships. It's not values.
A lot of negative energy towards Madison in the chat right now, which is very strange to me. I mean, I'm still really, really big on Madison, but we'll get there.
Mike's shouting out the chat. In case you guys didn't know, we do go live on Mondays right after the broadcast. So if you listen to our show on the podcast, thanks for tuning in. But we encourage you to check out our live show. We have hundreds and hundreds of people watching all across America and all across the world, which is cool. So thanks for joining us, guys. We'll shout you out throughout the episode. I don't know. What Maddie said to Peter was, if next week you were to sleep with someone else, it would be hard to, like, move forward.
Right.
So
let me just jump in as we shout out the chat. Chloe Ewald basically sums up my thoughts on it. It wasn't an ultimatum. An ultimatum is about control. Maddie gave him a choice without judgment or pressure.
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing the whole time, because basically what people are saying in the chat was, if she was honest in general from the start, she would have left week 3, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
I think my whole take on this is, she went through, and this is, my tinfoil hat is off. I'll put it on later. She went through the whole process, see if she was really into this guy, see if they could actually fall in love, and it seems like she got there. So now she's like, hey, I don't want to be with somebody who's just sleeping around on me, like, while we're dating, so this is kind of where I'm at. If you go and sleep with these other people, I don't think I feel comfortable going forward.
You're right.
That's, to me, a completely valid statement that puts the ball in his court if he is like, wow. You know, because I think a lot of times with Bachelor, they know, I really like this person, I'm still kind of entertaining it. Hey, if he was all Maddie, then he could have very easily and judiciously say, I'm not going to sleep with anybody. We're all going to have a nice time, but we're not going to take it to that level just to keep the options open. He had that choice.
Yeah.
He didn't need to windmill.
I kind of feel like it was interesting to watch this conversation. In some ways, our job is to sort of play relationship therapist on this show. I feel like both of them were giving 10%. Like, she was trying to be as clear as possible, but clearly wanted him to sort of intuit what she wanted. And he, I think, was being a little too, I need you to tell me exactly what you want. I feel like there's a version of this conversation where they both give a little more to set themselves up more for success. You know, I know what you're saying, Mike, but I think what she said was, it's like if you were to, like, sleep with someone next week, it would be hard to, like, move forward. So what he wants to hear is like, well, I get that. So, like, but I also want to sleep with these other girls and then we'll work through it. Like, what he heard was like, we'll have to have a challenging conversation.
Maybe they won't. He's willing to take that risk.
Yeah, he wants permission.
He kept asking.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't give it to him, which is her right.
Sure.
I don't know. I can see how both of them would be frustrated by how the other handled this.
I don't feel like he was being emotionally intelligent in the situation because I feel like he knew exactly what she wanted, but he wanted to have a technicality to be like, well, you didn't specifically, you know, spell it out. And because you didn't, you know, I can't, like, what do you want me to do? He wants someone to tell him what to do and then make that decision based on what they're explicitly stating. And I think it's really hard to communicate in clear terms like that, especially as women, when we're so used to not being so direct with mm-hmm. our feelings.
I also feel like somebody, like, he doesn't come from a very strong Christian background as much as Maddie's is. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really hard for somebody who doesn't come from that background to really understand and put them, like, yeah. she was trying to think about putting herself in his shoes going through this whole process. I think it was maybe really difficult for him to put himself in her shoes, right. thinking, like, it's okay if I do sleep with other people. We'll be able to get through it. Yeah. I don't yeah. think he realized the gravity of right. how big her religion is to her.
I think yeah. he wanted to have his cake and eat it, too. Right. And then he was, like, he was shocked that just, like, all the other girls in the past so far this season, they don't just come right back to him, and he gives them a little test. They're just like, no, but this... She's basically saying, nah, I'm good. I'm out.
Yeah.
It's just stuck by her guns.
I mean, I could yeah. never do... Like, genuinely, I was so upset just because I know that people are saying, you know what you signed up for when you go on The Bachelor, but it's not a given that Fantasy Suites mean you're going to have sex with all three
it's
of
not.
The women. I
That's
mean,
right. Right.
Sean Lowe and Catherine didn't do anything.
Tyler she and Hannah.
Yeah. Plenty
I
of
mean,
people.
There were a lot of people who didn't have sex at Fantasy Suites, so I think it's really unfair for people to be like, well, you know what you signed up for? Because in my eyes, I think it's very normal. Like, how do you get down on one knee and propose mm-hmm. to someone and say, I want to spend forever with you, I'm in love with you, when a week ago you just had sex with two other people, something that's so intimate,
I know. That's
meant
Bachelor.
To be shared with someone who's your forever person.
I agree with you, Mia. I want to unpack that in just a little bit. The last thing I want to throw out there is, if there's a world where Maddie had said, first of all, should she have had to say, listen, I've got to be clear with you, I'm leaving if you do this? And would that have been fair for her? Because there's part of me that wonders, if she had been that direct with him, he might not have...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think... Here's the thing. I don't think she knew how she would react until it happened. So
fair.
I don't think she could have said, if you do this, I'm going to walk away. Okay. Because that really does feel like an ultimatum. It feels like it's about control, mm-hmm. even if it's not, even if it's about her standards. But it's very different from saying, these are my standards, these are my values, this is where I draw the line. If you respect that, great. If you don't, I might walk away.
Yeah,
so
you're
right. That's what she did. I think it's very hard to be like, don't do this or else I'm walking away, because you don't want to control what someone does in the world of love. You want them to want to love you the way you want to be loved.
It's going
to
scare me if our pilots can't pick up on that much subtext. I don't know if I can move forward if you sleep with the other girls. Is, yo, don't have sex with anybody
else.
Well,
what she said is it would be hard to move forward.
Yeah.
That's different.
That to me is enough. I think it's enough. I think it's shouted loud and clear enough.
He heard what he wanted to hear.
Yes, exactly. She doesn't need to be dirty and explicit with it. People are giving a lot of hate. That's fine. That's cool. I think it was a tactful way for Madison to say, I'm not going to feel comfortable if you have sex with these other girls.
Yes.
Yeah. It's interesting. I actually don't necessarily think it's wrong to offer an ultimatum in a relationship. I think, like...
This is not a normal relationship, so...
Well, and the thing is, an ultimatum is really just saying, based on my beliefs and my standards, if you do this, I can't continue.
Yeah.
Is that... Do we think that's... I keep seeing all over Twitter, it's not fair to give someone an ultimatum, but... I kind of think it is, right?
It depends on what it is. I mean, I think, like, it depends. Like, if you're like, hey, if you talk to your ex, I'm out of this, I'm out, I'm not doing this anymore. Yeah, that's fair. Like, how do you have a relationship when someone's in contact with their ex and there's leftover feelings? It really depends on the nature of what that is and what your values are. But sometimes people exploit that use of an ultimatum, and they continue to use ultimatums in relationships, and that's where it gets, really tricky.
Yeah.
It should be used very sparingly.
Mm-hmm. I mean... Most relationships have unspoken ultimatums, right? If you cheat on me, we're going to be done.
Right.
All this other kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong, I think, as long as you're open and communicative with the other person, everybody's on the same page.
Yeah.
I mean, just maybe whatever we were talking about, there are swingers out in the world, right? Obviously, plenty of them where they don't care about that stuff. Maybe they care about something that in my relationship I couldn't care less. You know, talking to an ex. Maybe somebody who's open with their partner having sex with other people would never want them to speak to an ex, whereas I don't really care. So maybe that to them is an ultimatum.
You're
if
right.
you speak to that ex, we're going to be done because I don't feel comfortable with it. As long as you're communicative, I don't think it matters.
As long as you both have, even if you don't have the same values, as long as you can agree to what is acceptable for both of you in the relationship, that's the most important thing. If you know something hurts someone and then you go ahead and do it, then you're not protecting that relationship. You're really not.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I read something too on Twitter. The way that Maddie has just been this entire season, I feel like it's just very easy for me to go, she's not giving just the way that she's conducted herself this entire season, I look at her and I go, it's okay that she's doing this. Mm-hmm. It's okay the way that she's handling this, because she's conducted herself in a very positive, professional manner this entire time. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And it's in her full right to say this because it's a part of her religion as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go ahead and now I think it.
Hope Lockwood is right, Jeff. Sorry to interrupt, but Colton jumped a fence for Cassie at this point, and Peter can't even keep little Peter in his pants.
I mean, it is true. I really respect
jumped
Maddie.
Fences.
I really respect Maddie for leaving. I mean, like, let's go ahead and talk about this conversation
Did
now.
Did she leave?
I don't know if she left.
You're right. I respect her for very candidly how she felt.
I respect her for playing into the cliffhanger of the episode
yes.
for the producers.
Oh, that drove me crazy.
But let's talk about this conversation, because at this point, Peter is put in a position where he has to out the fact that he got intimate. We don't know exactly what happened, but
right.
rounded some bases mm-hmm. with Hannah Ann and Victoria. Is it unfair of Maddie to ask to put him in that position?
Nope.
I don't think it's unfair, because I think relationships require transparency. Mm-hmm. If there's no transparency in a relationship, there's no trust within that relationship. So if you don't have to give every detail, like, yeah, like, I bent her over and I did X, Y, and Z. Like, no. You can just be
at
like...
Mina Wahab.
Yes, the intellect.
This
the
is,
intellect.
Like, what happened? You don't have to... That's none of her business. But if you were to say, like, hey, like, yeah, this is what happened, and I think, you know... You might be upset with that. I'm so sorry. Yeah, that's her right to know, because she literally said, if you do this, it will be difficult for me. I need you to be honest with me. You need to be honest in relationships. Right. You can't get down on one knee without telling someone, like, what went down. I feel like that's so wrong.
Yeah, you gotta put a ring on my finger, then I need to know what happened in Fantasy Suite.
Yes. Seriously.
It's totally in her right to ask that.
She completely has the right to ask it, and he completely has the right to answer however he wants.
Yeah.
They both have their own rights. Mm-hmm. So, and they are adults, and they can figure, if I can figure it out, they can figure out the consequences of this.
Right.
She's going to get an answer she probably doesn't want, because the two girls went to the Fantasy Suites, and we know what happens on Bachelor. If he refuses to answer, that is an answer.
Right.
Right? Yeah. So everybody knows the consequences of asking the question and getting the answer. So.
And she already knows. She literally, I don't want to say interrogated,
we all know.
But she sat with, you know, the other two girls one-on-one, and they're like, and she's like, oh, so like, how did it go? And Hannah Ann was just saying, well, Victoria looks happy, or like, you know, like, it was so...
She was holding out hope.
Obvious.
Yeah, she was.
I mean, it could have been a situation where they had a... Like an emotionally intimate.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else.
I know.
No. If there was emotional intimacy, Peter would be straight up telling her, no, I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't have.
That's what I mean. I think Maddie was hoping that that's what happened.
Yeah.
I think what's really interesting about this situation is Maddie's refusing to play into the rules of the Bachelor cinematic universe, right? Like, she's coming in wanting to try to have a normal relationship with someone, but everyone else, like Hannah Ann, for example, goes in there saying, I won't like the fact that my fiancé may have had sex with two women last week,
but I'm
like,
down.
But that's it. Like, I made an agreement with this universe when I entered it, and Maddie's refusing to do that. And, like, we don't necessarily need to say that's right or wrong, but unfortunately, Peter plays by the rules of the BCU, and Maddie doesn't want someone who behaves within this universe, right? Mm-hmm. And Maddie and Victoria are fine with it, so...
Can I tinfoil hat it up now?
Yeah.
Because I love it. If this is gameplay, I love it, okay? I love it. Because oftentimes, everybody knows who watches our show, I always talk about most of these girls are looking to get second place, right? Everybody wants to be the Bachelorette. You know it. Mm-hmm. This is the most wholesome way to exit the show and look amazing and guarantee you don't win. I'm a virgin. I don't want to have sex before marriage. And I don't feel comfortable if you have. Have you? When I know you have. Oh, I have. Well, okay, I love you so much, but I have to go.
Wow.
Oh, you look amazing, right? And then you just look like this angel to become the Bachelorette. I don't know. That would be a sick game move.
And to
piggyback. I don't know if she's that.
It would be amazing,
I'm
going to
piggyback so real
maybe
quick.
Maybe she is that clever to do that, because we do know what happened earlier with the
I
Instagram
think she's
situation
pretty smart.
Of her commenting on her own.
She's playing the game.
Maybe. I think she's pretty smart. And she's got strategic dads and dad
Maddie,
bosses.
She's honestly my favorite.
What's very
three.
Interesting interesting, just to quickly piggyback off Mike's thing, too, is she was very clearly contextualizing everything, knowing she'd get compared to Luke. She was very careful to, like, directly address what she knew Twitter would be after her for tonight, where she's like, I don't want to shame you. I don't want to create an ultimatum. Like, it was like she was at replying everything she knew would get tweeted that night.
She's
so
smart.
To have that much self-awareness about how she would present on television creates a really interesting dimension to all of this. She was very, very careful to position her views in a way that's very different from Luke because she saw how the world reacted last year.
Yeah, and but it's also different because from woman to man versus man to woman, there's different connotations of control and, like, patriarchal norms that coming from Luke P to Hannah is very different coming from Maddie to Peter. I just think it's a different dynamic.
There's a double standard.
She doesn't have to qualify it in the same way.
Yeah. Is it fair that there's a double standard, do you think?
I mean, I don't think double standards are fair at all, but it's just the way the world is.
It's the way it is.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you know, the editors and producers have zero control over her, you know, virginity or her, let's call it the ultimatum that she's giving, right? But they do have control over the editing. So if you look to previous episodes, to me, she looks pretty well set up for Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Cool family, just a little bit of sports. She's got a little bit of a guy's girl, but she's very feminine, very girly when she dresses, all this kind of stuff. You got the coach in there. We got, it's just, to me, it's like all coming together.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, I have to say I admire Maddie. I admire the way she handled this. And it was just interesting to hear her. Like, when you articulate what's actually happening, you realize how ridiculous this show is. When she's like, it would just be difficult for me to get engaged to someone who slept with someone 6 days earlier. It's like, oh, yeah, that is ridiculous.
I know. Well, I didn't think about that, but when she said that, I went, hold up a second. I was like, then she has every right to ask this.
Yeah. But that's kind of like when you get married to someone and then there's a bachelor, bachelorette party, and they get, like, some couples have this thing where you get a pass. You can do whatever you want because it's before marriage, but I don't know. I just feel like this show is so bizarre on so many levels. I love it.
I'd like to toss out, not to interrupt real quick, guys, we don't do spoilers here. So anybody who's read stuff on other places or anything like that, just don't post them in the chat. If you want to mention that there's something somewhere, I guess that's fine. But just don't post anything in the chat for all of our friends who want to stay spoiler free.
We need to talk about Peter's sort of position in all of this because I... Yes, Peter could have chosen to not sleep with the other girls if his scar
pulsating like, don't leave.
That's a mind of its own. Yes, he could have chosen to not sleep with the other girls if he thought Maddie was the one, but he made clear tonight that she's neck and neck with the other girls. Yeah. So he did what he wanted to do. He followed his heart.
He did, and this is what I was saying from the beginning. He knew what this was. He chose to sleep with the other girls. He didn't have to.
Yeah.
So he was tempted. He tasted that fruit. He went for it, and now he's got to deal with it.
Yep. And it's different, you know? I think it's different. If he knew Maddie was the one and then decided to sleep with the other two girls, I think that's very different from not knowing who the one is and then sleeping with the other two women.
Right.
Because for him, he sees sex as intimacy and an important part of a relationship. Even if it's before marriage. Yes. So he just has a different value. He's not bad and wrong for doing that.
Right.
I think there's a lot to be said for his level of honesty, and I actually really appreciate it. I think he might have been even a little too transparent. I think that was just, like, crossed the line where it's really hurtful to say, like, I could see a life with all three women, because why would you instill more doubt when someone's already so hurt?
That's not the worst thing
to say to a woman when she's hurt. You know what? I'm in love with you, but I can also see a future with her. I can see a future with her. I mean, come on. Like, Maddie must have been devastated.
Classic TMI.
I just think it's like, you need to... I feel Peter, because I can be a little too transparent at times, but, like, that was just too much.
Well, I think Peter's metric for love in this situation has been honesty, right? In his mind, and again, how difficult is this process, to be fair? But to him, any time a woman's been honest with him, that's been ding, 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 this is love, this is intimacy. So in his mind, he probably thought he was being helpful and fair, but that was kind of like...
Yeah, just stick a knife in there and don't take it out.
Yeah, literally. For the podcast listeners, I motioned stabbing and twisting a knife. Just great television, though, right? This was like edge of your seat. It was much more gray than we're used to on this show. We're used to black and white, and this was like real love and real pain.
It seemed like it. They seemed like a good connection. Yeah, I think he would, just optics wise, he would have been best to actually not go through with hooking up with the other girls and actually kept all three. I think he would have come out looking better at the end too. Say, you know what? I respect that. And because I like you and I respect you so much, let me play by your rules. Because this like physical intimacy of doing it this one night just because it's fantasy suites on The Bachelor, that's not as important as me truly finding out who I'm going to be married to the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for him, he probably wants to feel like there is a sexual connection. That might be really important for him. He might think, oh, what's the sexual compatibility like? I can't see myself with this girl if the sexual compatibility isn't as intense.
Or he might just want to have sex.
Yeah. Right. It could be either or. For sure.
True.
And to that point, like we said, why didn't he make Madison's first then?
He doesn't have to choose.
Yeah.
But here, this is the kind of stuff.
You know the producer stuff.
I know. But just roll with me for a second. Yeah. This to me is the kind of situation where I think this makes great TV too. You go to Chris Harrison and you say, hey, she's given me this ultimatum.
Yeah, you're
She's got to be the first date.
Right.
Because if I get there with her in the fantasy suite, because she really is a front runner, then I'm done. Then I found her. That's sick TV too, right? That's some Colton stuff. I just dismiss all the other girls because she's perfect.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point, Mike. And I'm sure the show would have rolled with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Come on, Chris.
Last question. I think all of this leads to one more important question, which is are Peter and Maddie actually compatible?
I think they're super compatible. I think other than this one thing, in terms of their connection, they seem like they're friends. And I think it's so important to have that best friendship quality when you're with someone where it's more than just like, oh, I'm goo goo gaga over you because you're super hot. It's like, no, every time we've seen them together, they're laughing. Peter is just beaming with happiness. He shines so bright when he's with Maddie. And Maddie's so fun. Like, she has a personality. Like, go to her TikTok, you guys. Like, she is a cool, fun, creative person, and she has, like, you know, she has her own standards of what she wants. It's not good or bad, it's just what is, and if it doesn't align with Peter's, that's fine, but they have to come to some sort of agreement or conclusion.
Jeff, Mina is so right about the importance of friendship. Just like we have over 790 friends hanging out with us in the chat right now.
Yes.
We see each and every one of you. You guys are talking so fast, it's hard for me to do this. Amaya, Joseph Boza, Shani, Sweet Smile, Katie, Charlotte, Hope, Jay, Jobs, Amanda, Misha, so many of you guys we see here each and every week. You know, we do this show, but AfterBuzz has so many different shows for you guys across all the different genres and the shows that you guys love. So, if you're watching us here on YouTube Live, thank you so much. Give me a big thumbs up. We really, really appreciate it. Go ahead and subscribe. And if you're listening to us on iTunes or any of your favorite podcasting services, give us that 5-star review. Let us know that you did, because I love shouting you guys out and we read all the comments. So thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. Love you.
Yes.
What were you going to say, Rachel, about their compatibility long term?
This is the strongest relationship out of the three.
Yeah.
The strongest by far, because you can see the difference when he's with her versus the other two girls.
Right.
And these two actually have intellectual conversations and they just don't talk about the drama that they had the night before or two nights before in hometowns. And they don't talk about, they're not like Hannah Ann's date recapping, falling in love. They talk about the same thing over and over and over again, but we have substance with her and she, come on, she's got to win. She's got to win.
It's interesting though, because like my slight pushback, and I might just be playing devil's advocate here, but Maddie's made clear that she's made very clear that she wants to marry someone like her dad. And while I think Peter and Maddie are great people, Peter's nothing like Mr. Pruitt. Like, Mr. Pruitt, I'm referring to him like...
Jeff always refers to these, like, families, like, he's part of the... Like, he lives down the block, and he's known him for 20 years.
In my head, I will just...
Mr. Pruitt doesn't like Peter.
Always view myself as, like, a nervous 11-year-old 8th grader, just like... I think it's wishful thinking for both of them. I hate to say it. They're both great people, but I don't think, like... A lot will have to change with one of them for them to be compatible, which compromise is possible, but, like, there's not a marriage happening between these two.
Yeah, and if it doesn't happen with Maddie, then Peter needs to be single. Because there ain't nobody else.
Yeah, she's a great
guy. I feel like Maddie is Olivia Newton-John, and I feel like Peter is John Travolta, and, like, Maddie's just going to have to come up in, like, a leather jacket and, like, high-waisted
pants. Tell me about it. interesting. Well, let's go ahead and move on. Anything else with Peter and Maddie? We have to talk about some other stuff, too. But
I mean, let me throw this out to you guys, because, I mean, this is really the most interesting thing of the episode.
Totally.
Are they completely setting us up? Is this ending cliffhanger a complete red herring? Does she actually leave? Is she going to be there from minute one? Because the preview is obvious. You know, it's Victoria and Hannah by themselves. And where's Maddie? Is this a big setup?
I don't feel like if she actually didn't show up that they would do it like that.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
One rose. Like,
so you think she has to show up?
Yeah.
It's overdone almost.
I don't know. I just feel like it's a little...
Wait, this is an important question because they said next week on The Bachelor and we saw Victoria and Hannah Ann standing there with one rose on a pedestal.
In the desert. That's so weird. Yeah.
Maybe Peter had already given Maddie a rose.
Yeah, I was thinking like maybe she's already safe.
Wow. It's like he gives her a rose right there, a fantasy suite.
Or just at that ceremony. Okay. She was just standing off camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
My assumption was tonight... This is the last time Peter and Maddie see each other until she returns, if she returns.
Yeah.
My thought up until 2 seconds ago was that Maddie was getting in the limo and getting her bags.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I think about it, based on what we saw in the promo, either they're tricking us and that rose ceremony... Well, it was a rose ceremony. There has to be three.
Ceremony.
And there's one rose on the pedestal.
Yeah.
And there's two people standing there.
Here's what I think. I think that it doesn't make sense for her to have left because... He could have still had a fantasy date with her and just had this conversation off camera where there's nothing around, just, like, the privacy between them two to work this out together.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part that really frustrated me was her walking away and not getting that chance to have alone time with him to sort all of this out. Like, when's she going to get that opportunity?
Or the producers told her to walk away?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, let's quickly talk about Hannah Ann. Actually, let's talk about Victoria first. I feel that we got a much more multidimensional version of who Victoria F. is.
Mm-hmm.
Mina, what'd you think?
You know, I haven't been Team Victoria F. for a very long time.
You and everyone.
I have been very frustrated with her, but honestly, she started to open up during the one-on-one, and my heart was literally breaking just listening to that conversation of her saying, when someone asks me how I'm feeling... I just shut down because I feel like there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally felt like I was like, okay, like, don't cry, Mina, because, like, my heart was breaking. I was like, nobody should ever have to feel that way. Mm-hmm. I don't care if, like, I'm annoyed with you because of your performance on this show. Like, I don't know Victoria F. I don't know what she's been through. And I think for her to open up and say that, like, really showed that there's a lot there that's unresolved.
Mm.
And maybe she's not ready to be in a relationship at this point.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that she's not deserving of love and, like, all the great things in the world. I just think that was really, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jeff, you said it perfectly when you said she doesn't need a relationship. She needs a therapist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. But this, I wrote down, I was like, this is the first time I actually started to like her because I saw more of Victoria. And I can't imagine how it feels with all these cameras on you 24/7, trying to really open up and have an intimate conversation with something that you're already so torn up about in your own head. And you're already in here so much. And then you put a camera in front of you. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine. So, it was so nice to see her actually open up.
I really don't know what to think about it from this episode, to be honest. I don't know. The whole time we've kind of been saying he keeps around because she's attractive and he wants to hook up and make out with her. And I mean, God, he was making out with her from the second they saw each other, right? As soon as the helicopter. So I don't know. I do like that she opened up. I think that's important, but something in my gut didn't trust it. I don't know. It seemed a little manufactured. It's definitely, hey, if it's a completely true, everything that Mina said, 100%. No mm-hmm. one should feel like that. Everything you said, I completely agree with. But it is a really good explanation of why she doesn't talk, this kind of stuff. And she's tried to just leave multiple times, as we've seen. I don't really think they're a crazy good match just in general. Maybe she does need some more pro help and talking it out and things like that from stuff in the past. But I thought, what was so bad with Chase Rice? She's like, all the guys in the past, he seems like a cool guy.
I know. Chase Rice tonight is like, damn it.
Like, what? Yeah. What did I do? You know, I hope she, in the end, really finds a great person to be with and share. Maybe she's just not really ready to commit on that level yet.
Yeah, and I quickly want to throw out, because, again, being on a reality show, being on Big Brother, I do know how it feels to have cameras in front of you and how to feel scrutinized and then to have backlash come at you. So I feel for all of these women that are on the show and watching it back and everything that they went through, because that's a really hard thing to go through.
Mm.
So I just wanted to say that because I feel for them.
Yeah, thanks. That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
Did you... Is it RuPaul who said if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love anyone else? Is that right? Do you know anything about RuPaul's
saying?
Sure. It could be anyone.
That's a good quote.
I think that's his thing, though. I might be wrong. Let me know in the chat. But if that ever applied to anyone,
mm-hmm.
If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love someone else? I feel like that's Victoria F., right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
100%.
It's, again, it just feels like there's some damage there.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And Peter was really pushing her to open up. And I was like, dude, I don't think she wants to do this right now. I get that for you to have to get on a knee, you have to have these deep conversations. But, like, I think that's the moment when you kind of have to have the instinct of, like, I don't think she's ready for any of this. And I think I have to let her go.
I didn't like how he had made a comment saying, like, I want to get to know you more in Fantasy Suites and have these conversations. And then he went straight to making out with her. Even if it was edited that way. Because I feel like that could have been a wonderful opportunity for her to open up to him, you know, behind the camera, like, just without any cameras there, I mean. And I just feel like it's so hard to open up on camera about something traumatic or something horrible that happened to you in a past relationship. Like, not everyone can do that. I don't think it's fair to have that expectation of someone just because you're on reality TV.
Yeah, and because of that, we don't know what has happened to her. So maybe it could be that we're unfairly judging her because of that, you know, and unfairly kind of commenting, because, of course, we don't know. We can only comment on and talk about. You see the Kaiser Soze?
I saw Misha C. She goes, Victoria's therapist would need a therapist.
That's very good.
Misha C, we gotta have her call in before the season's over. That's hilarious.
And, like, and Amit's 12:30, she's broken up 4 marriages, no morals. I don't know, there's a lot of stuff going on in her past, and obviously she's dated high profile people and things like that. I don't know, there's a lot of stuff going on there, and I think, to me, I'm so sorry. To me, she is the girl where Peter is like, you're so hot, you're so hot. I'm so attracted to you. I want you to do this emotional stuff so that I can definitely just pick you.
Yeah.
But because you're not, I can't.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, I'm just, like I've said in the past, we have these allegations of her breaking up 4 marriages. We see her here struggling even to open up on camera. She's always going through something. I mean, she's constantly seeking validation from different men, it feels like.
Yeah, and to just echo that, it did feel like the moment she was most excited was when she got that fantasy suite pitch. Again, it feels like she's someone who really positions self-value in the context of sexuality. We saw that with the fashion show. She seemed the most secure and confident when she got to kind of wear lingerie. Again, I don't want to be disrespectful,
of course,
part of our job on this show is to kind of assess what's happening here, and I don't know, this has had to have been a very tough time for Victoria F.
Yes.
She's not being edited well on this show, and Twitter has not been kind to her. Who knows how our panel's even been with her, and we feel for you, Victoria F. I know it's very hard right now.
Let me toss out the opposite side to that.
Yeah.
You're saying she's always felt very comfortable in the sexual kind of situations and her body. If we take what she said at face value of this really long relationship in the past where she was never asked about her feelings or anything like that, maybe most of the men in her life and the relationships have just used her for that.
Right.
And that's the only thing they've given her value for.
Totally. She kind of said that tonight. She said, I've never been asked how I feel. And, like, again, we say on this show a lot, like, men do better. Like, she's clearly dated a lot of douchebags.
It's, like, been a trophy girlfriend.
And unfortunately, I think she's allowed these douchebags to shape her character and her values, which sucks.
You should never do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love yourself, Victoria.
Yes.
Just like RuPaul.
Quickly, anything to say about Hannah Ann's
date? I was just going to say, how can we not get into Hannah Ann's date?
There's so much to talk about.
I mean, they recapped their hometown date and their feelings. I'm falling in love with you. They said that during the hometowns.
And that he really means it when he says it.
Exactly.
Unlike when he says it other times.
talking about... Do what you need. Okay, I don't know what I wrote there, but
I know exactly what you wrote.
Oh yeah, when the dinner date sounded like the beach date to me. It was like the same conversation. Nothing new, nothing of substance. I don't know what they have in common, and I don't know why they're in love with each other.
Your do what you need to do is her giving him permission to sleep with the other girls.
Oh, in the fantasy. Do what you need to do. Okay.
Here's what I'll say, though. The more I see them together, the more it kind of makes sense. And I don't mean this to sound disrespectful.
Yeah.
But
it will.
There's not a ton to Peter besides, like, he loves being a pilot, right? He's like a nice guy who's like, I'm a pilot. And I feel like Hannah Ann's like a nice girl who's like, I'm a model. Like, the more and more I see it, like, they don't have much drama. Clearly, Hannah Ann's fine with giving him the FCP, which is or FSP, which is the Fantasy Suite pass. You know, she gave it right to him and said, have fun, do your thing.
She's like, as long as I get a brandy lot of this, I'm good.
I know, as long as Revolve is in my DMs. But it seems like maybe they're the most compatible.
She is, they're really painted her as the perfect match.
Yeah.
She's cool, like hometown girl. She's very pretty. She's cute. She's fun.
Low key.
There's no drama. Yeah. It's very easy with her. First impression.
They're both pretty happy. They're like happy people.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a lot of positive.
They have eyes.
They've got eyes.
You know, noses.
Yeah. I don't know. Hannah Ann's like grown on me. There's no reason to dislike her.
That's
which
no,
this
there
season
is no
makes exactly her incredible, right?
Yeah.
And that's sometimes all you need to win.
Especially this season.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts with Hannah Ann and Peter?
Again, she has eyes, ears, and hair.
No shade, Hannah. If you want to come on the show,
I love
her.
She showed a little personality but I love you. When she made that comment about, like, oh, we know that definitely happened.
That was funny.
Like, I was just like, how is she so chill? Like, I would be like, what did you do? What did you do, Peter? Tell me.
Yeah.
She's so relaxed.
It's tough to get anything out of her, at least editing-wise, for the show when you got Victoria F. and all the stuff that comes with her. And then everything that goes on with Madison, I mean, they don't have time to edit anything for her anyway.
Yeah.
Something crazy dramatic would have to happen to include her on the show.
Yeah. Well, we've only got a minute, guys, but let's quickly fly through these tweets.
Let's
do it.
We
got this beat. Okay, this first tweet's from me.
What?
It says...
Vito?
I need to make that a little bigger, Vito. I need to... Yeah, there we go. It says, all your favorites are back. Talking about Women Tell All. And then it's that picture of Billie Eilish
That's
from
so
the Oscars.
True.
Just like totally rolling her eyes.
That's so true.
So accurate.
Oh my God, I love
this. Your favorites are back.
So this one, Peter is telling Victoria F., I love everything about my relationship with Victoria F. except communicating. And then all of Bachelor Nation is just that meme with, you know,
Tom Hanks. Stressed out.
Yeah.
It's a lot of Oscars memes tonight. It's the stressed out Tom Hanks
This
from
is
the
mine. Me realizing I have to wait 2 weeks to see Peter's mom cry.
Bring her home.
Oh my gosh. We have a lot of fun with Bring Her Home in the truck.
Bring her phone to us.
Yikes.
All right, we got Mike's tweet last
No, we don't.
No, that's all right.
I knew we'd be low, quick on time, so let's do it.
Fair enough. Well, we got 10 seconds. So let's get out of here. guys, thank you so much for tuning in to our Bachelor After Show again. We had almost 1,000 people tuned in live, which is awesome. We really appreciate it. We love you guys. More Bachelor coming up down the rest of the road this week. In the meantime, you guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham. And check out, I do daily news coverage of The Bachelor on our AfterBuzz reality channel. That's Bachelor News Daily. Check it out.
Hey, everyone. I'm Mina Nydeen. You can follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Mina Makes Magic.
And you can follow me at Bring Her Home. I'm just kidding. You can follow me.
Someone made that.
At Rachel Swindler or on Twitter at Rachy Swin.
Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. As Jeff said, close to 1,000 live viewers. You guys rock. Sarah, Justice Amateur Sex. Katie Coons, Caitlin Sharp, Carrie, Mike B, Sierra, Ms. Brown Sugar, Beth, Rachel Hand, Jay Jobs, Jay Knight, Caitlin Sharp, Kayla. My name is Mike Thieling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Thieling.
See you guys next week.
Good night.
Bye. Our founder Kevin Undergaro and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.